Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Boston area is known for groundbreaking medical research and for pioneering new medical procedures. Well, here's one of the latest, fecal transplants. The thought might make you cringe, but it's a serious and promising procedure that can successfully treat a dangerous gastrointestinal infection known as C. diff, which kills at least 14,000 people a year. Last fall, the first human stool bank in America opened its doors in Cambridge, a nonprofit called Open Biome. Despite the fact that fecal transplants have proven effective, there are big questions about how to regulate the procedure. WBUR's Common Health blog has been writing about this, and co-host Carrie Goldberg joins us now. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So let's be really clear what we're talking about here, and at the risk of sounding sort of silly, there's no way to be delicate about it. We're talking about transplanting poop from a healthy donor into the bowel of a recipient, right?
That's right. We're talking about poop, about feces, about an S word we can't say on the air. And the idea is that we are taking the feces from a healthy donor and using a variety of means that could include the instrument for a colonoscopy or an enema. We are introducing those feces into a patient who needs them.
All right. So let's talk about the problem. 3 million people suffer from something called C. diff. It kills 14,000 people a year. What is it?
Right. C. diff is Clostridium difficile. It is a very persistent bacteria that is also very dangerous. It causes really horrible diarrhea and can, as you mentioned, cause death. And it has been linked to the sort of imbalance that is often created in our guts by using antibiotics. So what happens is that in our intestines, in our guts, we have trillions, actually, of bacteria, as we do throughout our body. And when you introduce antibiotics, it can be a little like you've taken a rainforest with all its various species, and you've clear-cut it. Mm. And then a weed, a bad kind of a plant, like this C. diff, can start to grow, and it can run rampant because the other species that used to be in the rainforest are now gone. So C. diff is a major problem in American healthcare now.
So tell us how fecal transplants can treat this.
Well, so the feces that are transplanted are full of good bacteria. They're full of healthy bacteria. They've also been screened to make sure they're free of infection. And so when they're introduced into the patient's intestines, they can repopulate the intestines with the healthier, the better bacteria. And they can help fight back against the C. diff.
Wow. So really fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Now the FDA is involved. What are federal regulators saying about fecal transplants?
Well, so the FDA, you can understand that they would want to be involved, that this is a bodily fluids being introduced into patients. So initially, they were kind of turning a blind eye, saying that, you know, as far as they could see, this was being done benignly. And the research on it is actually very exciting. I mean, they're finding that, in fact, these transplants can be like 90% effective. But what's happened recently is that the FDA has put out some proposed new guidelines that would change the rules and make these fecal transplants more difficult. And in particular, what they would do is that they would require that the donor know the recipient. And this would be a particular problem for this new stool bank that has opened in Cambridge, because there, the donors are anonymous.
All right. Well, speaking of that, joining us in the studio is Mark Smith. He's a PhD candidate at MIT and the co-founder of Open Biome, and that's the first human stool bank in the country. It's in Cambridge, Mass. And Mark Smith, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Yeah, so glad to be here with you.
Let me just ask a really basic question of you to start this off. What does the stool bank Open Biome actually do? How does it operate?
Yeah, so it's very simple. So fecal transplants, really what you need is you need a doctor and you need a donor. Normally, the process of finding a donor and qualifying them through a series of screens can be both costly and it can take a lot of time and sort of create a lot of hassle for the doctors. Basically, the service that we provide is screening material for doctors to use in fecal transplantation.
When did researchers first realize that fecal transplants could actually treat conditions like C. diff?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question. So fecal transplants have been used in veterinary medicine for actually a very long time. They were first used in 1958. For decades since then, there have been sort of a trickle of case reports coming in, indicating that, at least for C. difficile infections, fecal transplants could be very effective. And really, in the past 5 years, the sort of interest in this area has grown exponentially.
Now, Mark, Carey just told us about the new proposed FDA guidelines. Do they pose a problem for what you're trying to do at Open Biome?
This is absolutely an area that the FDA should be involved with. You know, frankly, we think there should be even more oversight than there is right now from the FDA, and we hope to get sort of mandatory screening requirements from them.
But you would have concerns, right? If they insist, as they're proposing, that the donor needs to know the patient, wouldn't that pose a bit of a problem with regard to how you guys are set up and operating?
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, at least for blood products, you know, it's very common to have anonymous donors. Initially, when blood products were sort of introduced, blood banks started to get off the ground. It was found that actually using anonymous donors was much safer than using directed donors because there's some sort of pressure on loved ones to provide a blood donation when needed and maybe not admit to potential IV drug use or sexual indiscretions that may lead to infectious agents. And so actually you're three times more likely to carry HIV or hepatitis through directed blood donations versus anonymous. So, you know, we do have some concerns about requiring to know the donor. But I should add that the FDA hasn't said that this is going to be disallowed in the case where you don't know the donor. You just need to go through, you know, a slightly more onerous process of regulatory oversight.
But Mark, it sounds like that would be more onerous for doctors, which I imagine would mean it would be a disincentive for doctors to use this procedure.
Our hope is that there'll be sort of a balance between this concern from the FDA for more oversight and a way for doctors to still be able to provide the material without requiring, you know, excessive reporting that, you know, frankly, most doctors are very busy seeing patients and won't have time to do.
Carey, the Common Health blog wrote about a married couple involved in this procedure. Catherine Duff suffered from C. diff. Her husband was tested for parasites, and after he passed the test, they went home to do the transplant in their bathroom. So how does that
right.
work?
Talk about a loving gift, right? So Catherine Duff had she was an Indiana mother of three. She had a horrible case of C. diff, totally debilitating. Nothing was working. Part of the problem is that C. diff is often very resistant to antibiotics, aside from possibly being connected to antibiotics. So she was in truly dire need. She wasn't getting the response she wanted from the medical care that she was getting. She kind of found out herself about the possibility of fecal transplant, and she and her husband went into the bathroom. It involved a blender and a strainer and an enema, and I'm not going to say more because people should not be encouraged to do this at home. In fact, it's not a good thing to do at home, but Catherine Duff became a great advocate for fecal transplants because she got much, much better really quickly, like within a day or so. There are concerns about people doing the do-it-yourself version because there can be problems. It's much preferable to have a bank like Open Biome.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to ask you about that. Risks associated with this kind of do-it-yourself procedure when it comes to fecal transplants?
For the donors that we screen, we start off with very healthy donors. They're people often curious about where our donors come from. They're exclusively researchers in the MIT Harvard community who are very generous and excited about their participation in the research.
It's smart stool.
Yeah, exactly. So I can tell you, though, that we start off with a very healthy population of potential donors. And even with that, more than half of the donors that we screen end up failing some of the screens that we put the donors through. And so the concern is if patients are using sort of at-home donors, they haven't necessarily gone through the appropriate screening protocols, that the donors may communicate disease at sort of a higher frequency than would be expected through, you know, more carefully screened donors that have gone through the medical community.
So let me ask you this, finally. What do we know about the long-term effects of this treatment? Or do we know a lot about long-term effects?
Yeah, very little. And I think that's an origin of sort of our concerns and a lot of the FDA's concerns as well, is we know that the microbiome is involved in a lot of, you know, important aspects of human health. And the concern is that, you know, you may be manipulating this in a way that is unknown. And I guess what I would argue is that we're already engaged in a very profound, uncontrolled experiment in the manipulation of the microbiome through widespread use of antibiotics, many aspects of sort of our modern diet. This isn't to say that there aren't concerns, but there are concerns with a lot of other sort of aspects of modern lifestyles that are definitely impacting the human microbiome and in the long term in ways we may not understand.
You know, Carey, I was just thinking, listening to what Mark was saying, this really is a sort of rapidly expanding area of knowledge, right? I mean,
yes, it absolutely is. And just to translate, your microbiome is the sum total of all your tens of trillions of bacteria that are living in your body. And there was just a piece this Sunday in the New York Times about how some people think that it may be that antibiotic use has affected our microbiome in such a way that it's helping to contribute to obesity. There are so many unknowns in this area. We're just starting to sort of plumb that rainforest that I was talking about before. And so this is yet another step in that direction.
Well, it's a fascinating subject. Carrie Goldberg is the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Carrie, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
And Mark Smith is the co-founder of the Massachusetts Stool Bank. It's called Open Biome in Cambridge. He's a PhD candidate at MIT. Mark Smith, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, coming up, we'll check in on a novel program that's rethinking criminal justice and mental illness. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.